This episode of the podcast is brought to you by The Summit, 343's live educational networking event for coaches and members of the ambitious soccer community. The Summit will be taking place at the Palms Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, Nevada, July 29th through 31st, 2016. Please visit 343coaching.fm for more information. Thank you. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of the 343 podcast. My name is John Pronich, and I am your host. And this episode is part two of my recap for my recent trip to Barcelona. In part one, I discussed waves. In part two, I'm going to talk about clouds. I wonder if there's a theme here. Anyways, in the very first part of this episode, I'm going to talk about my visit to La Masia, which was an amazing experience. And then I'm going to tie it all together with the idea of clouds. So I hope you enjoy this episode. Okay, thank you for listening. Have fun. On my third day in Barcelona, I got a chance to visit La Masia. Now, it's not the most easily accessible place to go to. It's a little bit outside of the city center. So after having breakfast and standing around outside of a little fruit stand, and munching down an apple, we were picked up, me and Cameron, that is, the person that I went to Barcelona with, we were picked up by our instructor or our guide, our host, whatever you want to call him. Narcisse is his name. But we were picked up by Narcisse, and he drove us about 15 minutes from where we were staying at our Airbnb to La Masia, the famed training ground of FC Barcelona. Now, upon entering, Narcisse was kind of showing us the different training fields. There's a mixture of grass and turf training fields. Certain teams train on certain or in certain areas. Certain fields are reserved for certain days. Certain fields are reserved for games. It was really cool and interesting to get kind of the layout or the lay of the land, I guess. But while Narcisse was showing us around, we actually ran into somebody, or somebody noticed him, called him out, and it happened to be somebody that Narcisse went to the university with here in Barcelona. And this person's name is Eric. He was traveling from the Netherlands, and he ended up spending most of the time with us at La Masia. And I will talk a little bit more about Eric probably in another episode, because he does have a really cool story. So I will definitely revisit him. The focus of our trip to La Masia was actually to watch the Benjamin Day, or the U10s, and it was game day for them, just like they did at the El Clásico for Johan Cruyff. The kids did a small tribute to Johan Cruyff just before kickoff, and then the game got started, and the thing, I guess, that stands out the most is that everything you see in the first team, you see in the youth team. Driving runs forward from the center back with the ball at his feet, stretching the entire field, swinging the ball across the back, movement from players that was just unheard of, unseen before by me in the United States. And probably the most eye-catching would be the lethal finishing ability of these 10-year-olds. So it was definitely interesting to see these U10s, these small boys, playing exactly like their first team. Like clones, replicas. But I was a little distracted, I'm not going to lie. I knew that there was other stuff happening at La Masia, and that kind of had captured my attention. So I went on a little field trip by myself through the training grounds. Just a short walk away from where I was watching the U10s play, I was able to catch a glimpse of the Barca women's team training. Now, when I walked up, they were training waves. Very interesting to see. It was a half-field pattern going towards goal over and over and over again. Shortly after that, they began to rehearse corners. So if you listen to part one, you know that I'm pretty keen on rehearsing everything and that there is very, very little improvisation at the highest levels of the game. A lot of it is planned. A lot of it is choreographed. This was a clear example of that in training. On the other side of the field, though, my attention was captured by what I think is something like the U16s, U17s, maybe U18s from Barcelona, but I have no clear evidence of that. But older teenage boys is how I'll label it, I guess. I got a chance to see them training, and they actually happened to be working on an exercise that is my favorite training exercise that I use with my teams, but it is 4 versus 4 plus 3 neutrals. So one neutral on either end, and then one in the middle, and then the 4v4 are the two opposing teams in the middle as well. So that, to me, was very, very, I don't know how to say this, enlightening and fulfilling to see, I guess, is a good way. But it's a training exercise that incorporates everything from the real game. The only thing that it doesn't have is shooting. Now, you hear people talk about that with rondos a lot, that it incorporates everything of the whole game except for shooting. This one particular exercise does. If you've never seen it before, I suggest Googling it. I found it on YouTube, but it's a great training exercise. It incorporates transition, possession, spacing, combination play, movement, awareness, fitness, and just add every other buzzword that you can think of into it, and you have it. So that, to me, was a real treat for me to be able to see my favorite team in the world, Barcelona, training my favorite exercise in the world that I definitely stole from them. But that was a very fulfilling moment and one of the most memorable parts of my trip. Now, on the other side of the complex, I was able to find Barca B and Barca's U19 team training in the same area, not on the same field, but in the same area. Barca's B team was looking like they were getting ready to start their warm-up for a little bit, so I focused more on the U19 team, which was about an arm's reach from me. And about an arm's reach away, they were training waves. Again, waves. This concept of waves was just everywhere in Barcelona that I was looking. So again, if you haven't listened to part one, you need to go back and revisit that and learn a little bit more about waves. But just know that this is a crucial, crucial ingredient to FC Barcelona itself. After watching them run their wave or their pattern play of a half-field pattern, ending with a shot on goal, but it also incorporated losing your man and combination play just outside the penalty area, it was amazing. It was, again, fulfilling, and I was just in shock. And this is the ironic transition into today's, I guess, topic. My head felt like it was in the clouds. I was feeling like I was on cloud 9. Okay, that's my cheesy transition. Let's talk about clouds. Now, this idea of clouds is something that was mentioned by Narcisse, our instructor, in our classroom session. He was talking about designing a plan for training, whether it was daily, weekly, monthly, or a season plan. The first thing that you have to do is consult the cloud. The cloud is like the mothership, where all the ideas are stored. From there, from the mothership, you design everything. But here's the takeaway. First, you must create your cloud. You must have a vision for your team or for your club. Once you have that vision, or once you have built your cloud, then you always refer to it. Not sometimes, always. You always consult the cloud to ensure that your plans are in line with the overall vision, identity, or ideas for your team or for your club. Now, seeing La Masia and being there was like having my head in Barcelona's cloud. I was in the mothership. I could see Barca's identity ingrained in every movement, in every touch, from every player, everywhere that I looked. Why? Because Barca has a clear cloud. And they always refer to it. So this brings me to, I guess, a question. Do you have a cloud? Does your team have a cloud? Does your club have a cloud? Shit, does our country have a cloud? Maybe this is where we're like really lacking. Maybe we don't have that cloud, that mothership, that place that we always refer back to make sure that everything else that we're doing after that is in line with that clear vision, that identity, that plan, all those ideas. Maybe we need a cloud. And it's not necessarily that having a cloud or having a clear vision or an identity is a new concept to us, because it's not. We hear that all the time in U.S. soccer. We hear that all the time from our clubs, and we see it on Twitter, and we see it on Facebook, and we see it in coaching courses. But I think when it's explained as a cloud, you get a different interpretation. You get a different image in your head. Just like waves, when I talked about waves, the way that it's received is different than when you say identity or vision or something like that. When you say cloud, it just comes across differently. And that's why these ideas are sticking with me, waves and clouds. And there's a few more that I want to share with you guys next time. So that's all I'm going to talk about today. But I hope you guys join me for part 3, which is likely going to be my final episode of my recap to Barcelona. Thank you all for tuning in and listening. Be sure to check out 343coaching.fm. That's the number 3, the number 4, the number 3, coaching.fm for more videos, audio, articles, ebooks. A bunch of stuff is available on there for you to check out. Okay, until next time, thank you. Next time on the 343 podcast.
To give the support with a proper body angle, it's so important, because it allows you to see always the ball possessor and the space where you want to go. So if you want to progress, you should be giving one body angle in order to see the ball, the most space as you can, and also the goal.
This episode of the podcast is brought to you by The Summit, 343's live educational networking event for coaches and members of the ambitious soccer community. The Summit will be taking place at the Palms Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, Nevada, July 29th through 31st, 2016. Please visit 343coaching.fm for more information. Thank you.